Welcome to Mindfulness with Mikey, episode 3. Today on the show, I have Active Minds. They are an awesome organization here on UConn's campus that promote the mental health conversation as well as suicide prevention awareness. So I'm super pumped. They are really cool. And not only are they just here on UConn's campus, Active Minds is on over 450 college campuses across the country. And if you're thinking, damn, Mikey, I'm not in college anymore, or Mikey, I haven't gone to college yet. Well, guess what? That's okay, too, because the things we talk about today can help activate your mind so that you can have an active mind, and that means you are mindful. And so, we are going to start this podcast just like I start every other podcast, with some music. So, Goose, take it away.
Shoes were untied. I don't wanna get up quite yet. Something down here I've got to get. Oh, down on the ground. Sometimes find what you ain't never found. If you can't, don't walk in by. Trying to tell. Maybe if I don't try so hard, oh, I'll understand why I fell so far. Oh, maybe there's no bad luck. You gotta go down if you wanna get up. It'll all come around one day. But for now, what to do? If you take a tumble. There is a lesson to learn and a cup to refill. Well, if you stumble, if your balance you lose, the road lies ahead, so tie up your shoes. Well, if you tumble, if you take a spill, there is a lesson to learn and a cup to refill. Well, if you stumble, your balance you lose. The road lies ahead, so tie up your shoes.
I let that song go a little longer today because the lyrics in that song are so incredible. And the chorus, I felt bad cutting off the chorus for my first few episodes. It's just so incredible. If you stumble, if your balance you lose, the road lies ahead. So tie up your shoes. Hey, you know what? If shit goes on, if you get knocked down, hey, that happens. You get knocked down. You stumble, you fall. Well, refill the cup that you just spilled. Tie up your shoes, and let's keep going. And that's what this whole podcast is about. Let's keep going. I really hope you guys enjoyed David Weitzman last week, and I hope that maybe some of you have practiced mindful eating or mindful walking or some of the things we talked about. And if not, that's okay too. You can still practice them whenever. The future is yours. Every moment is yours to decide what you want to do with it. In the past, you can't change the past, so worrying about it won't help. What will help is learning from the mistakes you might have made and learning from the positive things that you've done and using those to better your life in the future. So stop worrying about it and start worrying about what you can do right now to make today better and what you can do to make tomorrow better. So without further ado, here is Active Minds. Alrighty, now we have Active Minds in the studio. Thank you guys very much for coming out. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. I'm Alex Scheibel. I'm the president of Active Minds this year. I've been the president since my sophomore year, so this is my fourth semester doing it.
I'm Akila Kuchibotla. I'm a senior. This is my seventh semester, and I'm the treasurer of this club.
I'm Christian Olenowski. I'm the education and development coordinator. I've been in Active Minds for 2 years, and I'm a sophomore.
I'm Emily Borst. I'm one of the co-fundraising chairs. I'm a sophomore, and it's my first year at Active Minds.
Thank you very much, guys. So my first question is, what is Active Minds? Like, what's the name of your organization mean?
So Active Minds actually was started by a woman named Allison Malman, I think around the year 2000 or 2001, following the suicide of her brother Brian. And she started looking around her campus. She was at Penn State or the University of Pennsylvania, one of those. And she was trying to find a place where people could talk about mental health, because a big issue her brother had was that he felt like he was alone and nobody else felt like he was feeling. And she couldn't find any sort of place like that, so she started her own group, Active Minds, and it grew into a big national organization, which it is today, and it now has chapters across college campuses. Last time I checked, there was like over 450. The UConn chapter, I think, was started shortly after that. I think we go back to 2006.
That's awesome. Why did you guys get involved in Active Minds?
So as Alex said, is a mental health advocacy group on campus. And for me, the biggest part was that I wanted to not only share my own experiences, but be able to help others. So by doing the events and by just making us known on campus, I knew that for some people that could be a resource to them.
I think this is really important too, because especially on college campuses, everyone I feel like is unbelievably stressed out. Like all the tensions are higher, all the anxieties are much more intense, there's so much pressure, and also this is the same time that a lot of people have left home for the first time. This is like a lot of the times their first time actually being away. So I think that it's awesome that you guys are pushing that conversation forward. What do you guys do like in your meetings, or what does your group do specifically on campus to try to promote awareness for mental health?
Yeah, our two biggest weeks of the year are Suicide Prevention Week, which is in the fall. It's usually at the end-ish of September, so we do a lot of stuff for that. Like, we paint the rock by North Garage. We table every day outside the union, so we have therapy dogs come. We give out free T-shirts and resources and have conversations with people about suicide prevention. And we also plant 1,100 flags in the lawn right outside the union to symbolize the 1,100 lives that are lost to suicide across college campuses each year. Besides that, we have National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, which is actually happening right now. We have a semester retreat each semester that Christian plans, which he's been doing a fantabulous job. We do tabling events throughout the year, so we're tabling for NIDA right now. We had a little check-in type one last semester towards the end of November. We do a lot of fundraising, so bake sales. We sold sweatshirts as a club last semester.
Like, what does tabling entail? So when you have a table, what's going on at that table?
We usually try to come up with an activity. So for Suicide Prevention Week, we did Reasons I Speak last year. So students could come up and write on a piece of paper a reason why they speak about mental health or why mental health is important to them. And we actually took pictures of all the students that participated, and I compiled them into a video, which turned out pretty cool. For NIDA, we're doing two things. One is Trash Your Insecurities, so students can come up and write something that they're insecure about with their, like, related to their bodies or their appearance or something that they're struggling with, and crumple it up and throw it away in a trash bin. So I think that's pretty cool. And then also they can write a body positive message and stick it to a mirror. And then we also always have resources to give out, so all this stuff with the information for student health and wellness. We have pocket guides to mental health from Active Minds, a lot of little flyers and stuff, suicide prevention guidelines, how to help a friend.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you. Christian, can you talk a little bit about the retreat you're planning and like what goes on and what goals are for the retreat?
So the retreat is pretty much an event that we do outside of our meetings to promote club bonding and ensuring that everyone feels included within the club. And then for this semester, we're hoping to do it at the end of March, so hopefully it'll be warmer outside so we can do something like hiking or go to the dairy bar or something. But it's really just to promote bonding and make sure that everyone knows that there are friends and support throughout the club.
Yeah, it's nice because it's longer than a meeting too, and it's outside of the meeting time, because it's hard to have people form relationships or friendships when you only meet once a week for an hour as a club, especially because it's late on a Tuesday. So I think it's a great way to try to form those relationships on a deeper level to show people that, like, there's people out there that they can relate to and that can be there for them also.
A big part I want to express in the show is that all these things that we often feel and are so personal and often feel that we're alone with is actually, they're so common, and that probably more students on campus do face these struggles and face these things and don't. What would you like to see changed on UConn's campus, or like, is there anything that you guys are really, like, I guess promoting the conversation, but like, if I'm just a regular student, how could I go about promoting that conversation on campus or trying to help out someone who might be in need?
So one thing that we do is give presentations. We're definitely kind of sorting out the details with that, but a lot of groups will ask us to come talk to them. I recently just did one a couple weeks ago, and we presented to a sorority, and the way that I thought about that was, again, we gave all sorts of different tips. We did a whole presentation. There was a TED Talk. And even if the seed is planted just in those people's minds, I think that they are better prepared for what they may come across. So again, to me, the biggest part is advocacy and just trying to get the word out there. People see the sign when we're tabling, oh, what is Active Minds? And explaining it and them knowing that even if they come to one meeting and they ask one question of how they can help a friend, or if they hear one thing that makes them feel better, to me, I think that that's us making a difference.
So I would definitely try to promote taking part in all the mental health events that have been happening lately because of the UConn Mental Health Coalition, which was just started, I think, at the end of last semester. A lot more students have been getting involved in mental health, which is great. It's unfortunate that it took two suicides to really make people feel like they needed to jump into action, but I'm glad that it's happening now. So, like, for example, Mental Health Action Day is tomorrow, where students are meeting on the SEAL and then going to the Board of Trustees meeting. And I know a lot of people from the coalition are planning on speaking on their experiences and concerns. So just attending events like that or promoting them and just sharing your story or your own experiences, I think, is really important. And as far as UConn goes, I have a lot of concerns with the Mental Health Center in general. And I've been saying this for years, basically since I've noticed it, since coming to UConn, just like the size of it is so small compared to the student body here. Like, I always compare it to the old rec center, how UConn just outgrew that and the campus grew, so they had to build a new one to accommodate all the students that go here. They really need to do that for mental health. And I was actually told at the mental health town hall they had last week that Arjona is a, temporary space for the mental health center.
How long has it been temporary for?
A long time. Since I've been here, and definitely before that, I'm not sure how long, but a long time, at least 6 years, probably more. But I don't want to say anything that's incorrect.
And for those who don't know, Arjona is, it's like the test-taking center, so I would consider maybe the hub of anxiety on campus, possibly, where everyone goes to be anxious. And then it's on the top floor, it's like small, kind of...
It's just one floor.
Beat down. Like, I think like the studio we're in right now is probably nice, is a much nicer facility than any of the mental health services they have there.
Possibly.
So.
Yeah, it's definitely an old building. They're just understaffed, underfunded. It's too small to adequately accommodate all the students that attend this university, especially because like it takes 3 weeks for students to even get their first appointment, and then they work on a short-term, fast turnover type system. So when students come in, they basically try to get them to a place where they're not suicidal or not in crisis mode, and then they try to push them out into other things so that they can take on the other students, and even then there's still the three-week waiting period to get your first appointment. So, like, for example, when I wanted to go back to therapy last semester, I called, like, the first week of November, and I couldn't get in until, like, right before finals. So on the phone, the woman was telling me, like, you're not going to be able to get an appointment until the last week of the semester, so do you even want to do it? And I was like, well, yes, because I want to start again, and I don't want to wait. But then you just kind of have to sit with your feelings and thoughts for 3 weeks. And I do want to say that they have resources available. There's always the suicide prevention hotline. I'm pretty sure Student Health and Wellness has an on-call therapist that you can call at any time. and they do have the drop-in hours every day that students can go to. It's just if you're looking for, like, a more personal, like, starting to build a therapy relationship and work through stuff on more of a long-term basis, it's really hard to get that kind of care at UConn.
I feel like college is such a place where that's kind of needed, where you need someone, just a counselor, if anything, just to check up on and, like, hey, like, how the hell are you doing? Yeah. You've had a lot on your plate. Like, is everything going okay?
Yeah, college just adds a whole extra layer of stress and pressure to anybody's life, especially, like, depending on your circumstances. Like, I always say that you don't know what people are going through. So, people could have anything else happening under the surface, like international students. I can't even imagine, like, coming to a new country, possibly not knowing anyone, just totally being out of your element and having to adjust to that, or even just students who are away from home for the first time. Like, it's all relative how, like, difficult of a transition it would be for you. Classes are harder, their exams are worth more. Especially, I was talking to a girl who's in the Society of Women Engineers last week about it, and she was just, I hadn't realized how much different it is for STEM majors typically, also, like, the added pressure and stuff of achieving in that sort of role. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of other compounding factors. Add in, like, family stuff, personal issues, just, like, sexual assault, drinking, everything. It's just a tough environment to be in. And like I said in my petition, like, college can be amazing and wonderful and, like, have the greatest experiences of your life, but it can also be stressful and terrifying and horrible. So it really just depends, but you need the resources there if you're having a hard time. And if you have to wait 3 weeks to be able to talk to someone, then it's going to make it a lot harder to be okay.
3 weeks is a very long time. I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes, especially when you're really not doing well, even like an hour can seem like a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to kind of add to that, it makes me really frustrated. I think that a lot of people, by the time that they even seek help, that's when things are where they're really bad. They've already probably been debating and hemming and hawing for a while. So I think once they try to seek help, it would be awesome if they could just instantly get help. And I don't want to point the finger or anything. I know that they are working really hard there. It's just a situation of, again, being underfunded, having a small facility, and just not having the resources that we need. So that's kind of like a bigger issue. But again, I have had plenty of people reach out to me about how hard it is here right now, and I definitely relate to that. So I just think that, like, more work certainly needs to be done. But we're still trying our best.
Thank you very much to all you guys for all you do. It's nice having, like, little rays of sunshine on campus to try and boost everyone else up when they're not doing so hot.
Going off of Emily, I do always try to say that I honestly think student health and wellness, mental health, is doing the best they can with what they have, but it's just a matter of not having enough money and not having the staff to accommodate the university in general. And I talked to them at the mental health town hall, and they told me that, like, the 3-week waiting period scares them too, and they want to see change, and how our HONA is supposed to be temporary, and they really just need the funds to, like, expand how they want to. So I do think that they're trying their best, but it's just a matter of the fact that their best isn't good enough.
And again, seeing people failed by the system is just the saddest thing to me, because that would just make you feel so much worse and so much more discouraged that, okay, I'm going to seek help, and then you're just shut down. So I feel like that's just a really frustrating thing. Before I even came to UConn, I've been failed by the system in the past. So it's just really, really, like, hard for me to kind of see that happening to other people. Mm.
I mean, I don't have any of the answers, but I hope by talking about it that we can raise more awareness about it, bring more people to the table, to the conversation. Because, I mean, I think you said Active Minds started in 2001.
And yeah.
I feel like mental health really hasn't been important up until, like, in society, up until, like, within the past few years. That's kind of generous, I feel like. So, I don't know.
Again, that's our biggest thing, like, just raising more awareness. The more you talk about things, like, we're just trying to talk as much, fight the stigma. Like, we're just trying to talk about it as much as possible. And again, I try to share my experiences and my stories as much as possible, not even for myself, but just for other people, because I don't know who I'm impacting by talking about my own life. So
you really don't know. Like, our vice president Isabella always shares this story at our meetings around the time of Suicide Prevention Week, because I think her sophomore year, my freshman year, we had a student come up to our table and tell us that he was thinking about taking his own life that day, but he saw our table and he saw the flags and he decided not to. And I wasn't present for that, but I know that was something that really stuck with Isabella and me too. And I've had a lot of experiences after that, just people telling me or coming up to the table and saying, like, thank you for all the work that you're doing. This is really important. Or, like, I just lost my dad to suicide, so thank you for doing this. Or, like, it just touches everybody. So, yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, a couple weeks at our bake sale, a girl came up to me when I was tabling, and she said that she's really grateful for our club and all we do on campus, because I forget if she's a Connects mentor or an AAC mentor, but she said that her mentees have told her about our club and how much we do on campus regarding mental health, and she's just so happy that we're here, and I'm really happy to be a part of a group that is fighting the stigma and hopefully one day ending it.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole point. That was the reason the club was started, to create this safe, open space where people can talk about mental health and where they feel like they're not alone. So, I mean, I'm glad and proud to be a part of that and creating that space here on UConn, or at UConn.
Yeah, that story is really cool. I mean, yeah, and that's the only, like, story you know. I mean, how many stories are there that we don't know about people who have seen things? And honestly, I feel like it doesn't even really take much. Like, even just, like, being friendly, like, saying thank you to the person who swipes you in, or, like, smiling at somebody. Like, those are just little things you can do that they just make the community more friendly, I feel like. Because I feel like everyone just feels so alone. And it, well, the reason we're all here right now is because we found out that we're not alone. I'm sure we all struggle with very different but very personal things and have realized, like, shit, this sucks, but I don't have to suck this up and deal with this all on my own. I can go through it with friends, with community, and it's going to be okay. And, like, people do care. So if you're listening, we care.
Yeah, we do care. But we to care. Touch on what you said before, I actually know of a documentary about a man. I'm sorry, I forget his name. He survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh. And he says, if one person had smiled at me or asked me how my day was going or something when he was walking on the bridge, he wouldn't have done it. But again, he survived. So you never know. Maybe he wasn't done yet. And he's there to share his story. And we're all in this together. So
Kevin Hines was his name.
Yes. Say his name.
Yes.
Just to make that difference, they also have, like, the different trainings. They have the HELPS training, and then
Which stands for Help Everyone Learn to Prevent Suicide.
There you go. And there.
What was that? What was the acronym again?
HELPS.
HELPS.
HELPS. I did that training, and I also did mental health first aid, which is an 8-hour thing that I believe USG hosted both, but for those who do want to help those around, like, you don't have to be certified, but I learned a lot through that. Like, that's where I saw that documentary actually for the HELPS one, where you can make a difference. You don't feel like, for those who do want to help, don't feel like you're limited. It's not like there are resources, but if you want, you could do those trainings. Like, I learned a lot through how to deal with the person, how to approach a person, how to talk to them, how to discuss, like, therapy options with them. Even, like, the little things can mean the world to someone, but, like, those trainings are available, too.
Do you have any tips from your mental health first aid you'd like to share with us?
Well, one thing that stuck to me was the questions or the statements that you pose to that person, it's nothing. Like, you can't downplay what they're experiencing because you don't know what they're experiencing. So, like, it's nothing. Like, you'll get over it, you know? Don't cry. I think that was a common thing that stuck with me because it's like they're eliminating that emotion. They're eliminating all those feelings that you
not need validating to feel. What you're
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. what it is. It's invalidating. I was going to say, I think something that a lot of people jump to try to make people feel better is saying, like, oh, it could be worse. Like, imagine how much worse it could be. But it's just, like I said before, it's all relative to the person. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's worse for you could not necessarily be what's worse for me. It really just depends. And you're also not the one experiencing it. So I think, like, Active Minds does a thing. It's, like, VAR. I have the cards. We're going to put them out for NIDA, but I think it stands for Validate, Accept, Refer. So it's, mm-hmm. like that's just the response system. So, like, validate their feelings, accept what they're saying, and then refer them to services to help if you don't know how to help yourself mm-hmm. or if that's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times I've gotten that, especially with the family background that doesn't, they're not as passionate about mental health as mm-hmm. I am. I've always gotten that, like,
appreciate. Some of the
thank you.
It's fine. like, there are people who have it much worse than you. The people who are in poverty, who are struggling to, like, homeless people, all those people. Like, I should be grateful for having a roof, for having a bed, and all that stuff. And I understand that because I am truly grateful for where I am in my life, that I'm not struggling in that way. But mental health is, like, you can't, mental health is another thing too. Like, it's so important, maintaining both your physical health and your mental health. The person that's struggling with severe depression is probably going to struggle the same much as someone in poverty, because, like, they're in such a low point. And so, like, I'm saying, like, you can't compare. Like,
yeah,
what she was saying.
Like Alex said, it's all relative.
Yeah.
And it's very personal. It's your own brain chemistry. It's all what's going on in your own dome. So it's really I can understand what people have good intentions and they're trying to be like, hey, you know, like, it's okay. But if I'm feeling pretty shitty, the last thing I want is to feel shitty about feeling shitty. Because then you're just going to find yourself in a loop, and that's not some place you want to be.
Yeah. Like, having gratitude, I think, is important and helpful to put things in perspective, but it's not necessarily going to ease or fix your suffering. And I think there's, like, a time and a place for it. And it depends on the person, too. Like, that might help one person think, like, oh, you're right. Like, last week was really bad. This week is better. So, like, at least I have that. But it also can definitely just make them feel worse and feel bad about feeling bad. And then you're just beating yourself down more.
To me, like, the cliches really get me. So when you're clearly not doing well and it's in your brain, just think positive. Or, you know, just turn it around. This is going to be the best week. I want to say, like, thanks, asshole. Didn't think of that. You know, like, it's just you. Sometimes you know, I am not going to have a good week. I'm going to try my best every day. I'm going to take my small victories. Mm-hmm. But where I am mentally, it's not going to be a good week. And it's not having a negative outlook, but it's knowing where you are in different stages. Yeah, I'm looking forward to next week because I think it's going to be much better. But at the same time, sometimes you can't just think positive, and sometimes you can't just be grateful. So
I think an important part of mindfulness is realizing how you're feeling, mm-hmm. and then not judging it. Mm-hmm. So realizing, hey, like, I do feel like shit right now. Well,
but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Every single person I've ever met feels like shit sometimes, mm-hmm. and if I focus on it and I want to just snap it away, make it go away, it's probably not going to go away. For me, at least for me, what helps is, like, it's like, all right, I have these, like, this many things to do this week. I'm going to have to do this. Like, that's going to suck. This is going to have to wake up early. It's going to beat me down. Whew. All right, deep breath. What's actually going on? Because usually I'm in my head. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just thinking all these thoughts in my head. I'm not living out in, like, what I'm actually doing, what's actually around me. So I think just, for me, like, taking a deep breath, you know, looking around and seeing, like, okay, well, my friends are over here. Like, oh, I got a computer over here. All right. Mm-hmm. My backpack, my pen.
It's
okay.
Grounded.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's something I do a lot because I struggle with anxiety. So that's something that helps, like, pull me back to the present moment and back to, like, literally the ground, because sometimes I just feel myself spiraling. And it's been happening, like, a lot more lately. Like, in my therapy session last week, my therapist was like, "You're not even paying attention to me." And I was like, I was thinking about Huskython and the meeting I have after this and, like, what I was going to eat for dinner and all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's a really good tactic. That's something that's helped me, is just, like, coming back to the present, focusing on what you can do right now, and just trying your best and accepting yourself for wherever you are, no matter where it is. Yeah.
That's the only thing that you actually do have control over, is
exactly,
the present
moment.
You can worry about everything you've ever done. You can create every worst-case possible scenario in your head, but the only thing you actually have control over is what's going on right now in this moment and what you're going to do. So... thank you. Thank you guys for coming to speak with me. Yeah. I think your group is absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
We think you're awesome.
Yeah.
We're on the same team here.
That's true.
I think your podcast is awesome, so thanks for having us.
I appreciate it. I hope someone actually listens. If you're listening, if anyone's listening, thank you.
Yeah.
And hi, Mom.
We care about you. I said hi, Dad, on my first one, so I'm sure my dad's listening. Hopefully your mom will be listening, so that's at least two.
There you go.
Thank you, everyone.
At least two.
Thank you, Active Minds. Just want to plug, so it's your meetings are on Tuesdays.
Yeah, we meet Tuesdays at 7 in the student union. The room changes, but it's usually room 221. Meetings are about like 45 minutes or an hour.
And it's not specific to UConn, right? It's at other college campuses.
Yeah, it's at a lot of college campuses. I've had people who were UConn students and then transferred somewhere else reach out to me and say that, like, oh, I found Active Minds at my new campus and it's great. And I've also had people come up to us at the involvement fair who transferred here from other universities and were looking for us because they did Active Minds at their other campus. And we follow a lot of other Active Minds accounts on Instagram from other college campuses just to stay in the loop and stuff, and of course the national organization. But yeah, it's pretty widespread.
So that's awesome.
Say,
so
cool.
Even if you're not a UConn student, you can still hopefully find Active Minds, or maybe just try to have a more active mind, which I think is what we're trying to do. So thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that concludes my interview with Active Minds. Thank you guys for coming on. You guys were awesome. You guys are the shit. And for everyone listening, I want you guys to know that these kids I spoke with, kids, are not PhD students. They're not specifically experts in mental health or mental issues. They are just regular people like me and like you. Everyone's just people. Everyone is just people. So these things that are very personal to you, that might be very personal to the people I just spoke with, that might be very personal to me, they're very universal. They're universal among all human beings. And guess what? That's okay. And that's kind of cool to know that I'm not alone, you're not alone, they're not alone, nobody's alone. And that's the whole point. So if you can take anything away from that, just know that you're not alone. And yes, you can get help. There are places to get help. And if you're in need of help, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a regular human being just like the rest of us. Welcome to the club. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with any of us for feeling normal human being feelings that have been felt throughout the history of all of mankind. We're all the same. We're all different, but we're all the same. It's just like those math problems my dad was telling me about that I shared in the first episode. We're all the same, and we're all different. So, reach out to a friend, reach out to family, reach out to anyone you feel comfortable with, and talk to somebody. Because talking about it will make it better. I promise. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I'm going to let some music carry you guys on. So I'm going to change up a bit. I'm going to have Tumble lead you guys on out. Because I love this song so much. So Goose, take it away.
Shoes were untied. I don't wanna get up quite yet.
take a tumble, if you take a spill, there is a lesson to learn and a cup to refill. Well, if you stumble, if your balance you lose, the road lies ahead, so tie up your shoes. Well, if you tumble, if you take a spill, there is a lesson to learn and a cup to refill. Well, if you stumble, if your balance you lose,